In a series called The Holy Spirit and today I would like to continue speaking a little bit on the topic of water baptism. So today we are talking about the Holy Spirit and water baptism. Back in 85, 86, I was interning at Bethel Temple in Fort Worth, Texas. My wife's father, Pastor John Wilkerson, was the pastor at Bethel Temple there in Fort Worth. I think the church ran close to 1,000 people. It was a really going church. We had four, I think, male interns and three female interns. And so we all worked together just doing whatever they needed us to do. And I remember a couple of our buddies, we always loved to kind of joke on each other and prank and all that. Well, I had a couple of buddies that were interns that were going to get baptized. So me and the other intern went out and decided to go buy a bunch of goldfish to put in the baptismal. And so we went out to the pet store, and I don't know if you guys have ever like TP'd somebody's house, but when I was a junior in high school, my girlfriend, I TP'd her house with 100 rolls of toilet paper. And when we went to go get it at the grocery store, we had four shopping carts full of toilet paper, and the manager came out from behind and took two of our carts away and said, "No, you can't have that much toilet paper." You know, like, so we had to go to all these other places to get it. But well, anyway, the same thing happened with the goldfish. We tried to go in and get 100 goldfish. The guy said no. So we ended up having to go to a bunch of different places. Fast forwarding now, it's Sunday morning, very early. Me and my buddy get there before anybody's at the church, and we dump all 100 of the goldfish into the baptismal. So it's time for my buddies to get baptized, and Pastor John, my father-in-law, he goes to get into the water, and he doesn't even see the fish. I don't know how it's possible, but he gets in, and all the people can see because it had like a four-foot acrylic whatever, and they could see the fish. And so everybody else is out there like, you know, well, when he realizes there's some laughing going on, he looks down and sees the fish, and immediately, without hesitation, he looks to the left and catches my eyes. Anyway, guys, long story short, he was not happy. So I am so thankful today for those who have chosen to be baptized. There are no goldfish in there. Yes. And who have made the next step decision in following Jesus. Can I get an amen? It is so important for Christians, for all believers, to understand the importance and the priority of water baptism. Let me say it again. Water baptism is so important. I want us to look at a scripture that I'm anchoring the entire message on. We've actually been hearing the scripture quite a bit over the past couple of months, but it's found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It's known as the Great Commission. And let's look at this. It's coming out of the Passion Translation. It says, "Now wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You guys, after our decision to receive Jesus as our Savior, we are to be baptized. And according to Matthew, and some of you are going to flinch at this when I say this, but stay with me just for a second. But according to Matthew, baptism is as great as the Great Commission. Why? Because it's a part of the Great Commission and the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it here. Let's put it up here. Matthew, look, I've kind of banged. But look at what's in this scripture for us. It's to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again to you. We are to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus really gives us two ordinances. Okay, two ceremonies for us to celebrate together. The first is communion and the other is baptism. And Jesus commands this of us to be baptized. It's not a request and it's not a suggestion. Believe it or not, now here's where I want you to stay with me. Believe it or not, there are many believers, maybe even some that are sitting in here today, who have still not made the decision to be baptized by water. Let me just go over as a definition of believer for us. This is just one that I came up with. You might have another. A believer is a person who is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and the author of salvation. And let me go on to say this, that he was resurrected. A believer believes this, that Jesus was resurrected and is still alive. Can I get an amen for that one? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, Jesus even went kind of through this as far as just like dealing with defining who is a believer, who are you? And he's traveling around with these disciples, these men and women, these followers. In 3.5 years of ministry, they finally get to a place called Caesarea Philippi. I've been there myself many times, but back in the day, it was probably one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth. But at the same time, one of the most scary, something to be feared, filled with all types of gods and monuments and buildings that are built for who knows what and all that was allowed. And then you have this lagoon where they would put people in and sacrifice them. And it was not the place to be if you were a follower of Christ. I'm just telling you. And in the midst of all these gods, he looks at his disciples and he says, you know, he basically goes, who do men say that I am? And they start, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah, they start going through all the names of the prophets. And then he looks right at him and says, who do you say that I am? Why would there be any believers out there that have still not made the decision to be baptized? That's the question. So I'm going to give you four reasons that I could think of why somebody would decide not to be water baptized, a believer. The first one is this: they just really don't understand the importance. Okay? That's just it's a simple one. My hope is that by the end of this message, you will see and understand the importance of water baptized to all of us. Everybody say all. To all of us. To every person in this room that you would come to know how important this really is. The second one is this. A reason why a believer has not been baptized is that they are committed to tradition. To a tradition, sprinkling or a cup of water over the back of the head as a baby's. Let me say it this way, it could be even a denominational tradition. But see, baptize in the Greek, if you were to look up baptize in the Greek, the word is baptizo. Baptizo. And baptizo is to dip repeatedly, to immerse. And I love this last one, to submerge like a sunken vessel. Isn't that great? I mean, it just gives you the picture of going underwater, that it's not a sprinkling. There's no question of it. It's not pouring a cup over the back of the head. No, this is being sunken like a vessel. I have a bunch of Catholic friends, actually, and other friends that are Church of Christ and Presbyterian and all this, and we've had many discussions. In fact, when I was at Bethany studying, we had those that were coming in and studying for their degree in ministry, and we would have these conversations. Well, I had a really good friend that he talked about, yeah, I was baptized, you know, but I don't remember anything. I was just a little baby in this whole thing. And guys, here's the thing is, I don't know if you know this, but back in the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholics or the Catholics would still submerge babies. They would submerge them. But in 1311, they got together and they decided that no more submerging of the babies. We're just going to sprinkle them. And let me make sure I say this too. Everything that I say today is in 100% love. I'm not judging. I am not judge. I am here just to let you know biblically what we should believe, okay? Presbyterian Church, this is what they believe, that they believe that baptizing infants is to the New Testament what circumcision was to the Old Testament. But here's the thing. I don't know what type of Bible you read, what Bible you have brought, what version you're using on your phone today or in your notes. But guys, here's the thing. Infant baptism is not found in the Bible. It's not there. You're not going to find, and here's the thing is that from Genesis to Revelation, you will find no scriptural support for baptizing infants. It isn't commanded. It isn't illustrated. It isn't there. You're just not going to find it. And many believers that were sprinkled as infants fear that if they are baptized again by immersion, they are turning their backs on their heritage or their family's tradition. All this to say, and I say this in love, if it's not in God's word, then it has become a doctrine of man. Come on, give me an amen, you guys. It's as simple as that. And here's the thing. If it's not in the Bible, we should not build a doctrine on it. I really do wish, I've thought about this many times, I really do wish that Jesus made it very, very clear for us when it was time to baptize a child. Like in the story where he's got all the children on his lap and he's sharing all these great stories that he said. And also, baptize your children at the age of 8. I mean, if he would have said that, we would have known. It wouldn't be a big deal. There would be no arguing or going over doctrine and all this. But it would just be very simple. But this is all I know. What the Bible is clear on is that when a child makes the decision to follow Jesus, every day, every Sunday, right next door over here, we have children that accept Jesus into their heart every day. And come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I know at the age of 6 or 7 years old that's when I also accepted Jesus into my life. So I do understand that there is a time and a place where a child, where a boy and a girl is hearing the story about Jesus and they go, I want that. I want to know this man Jesus. I want him in my heart. And having a genuine experience, it's again, asking him in their heart, asking for forgiveness and choosing to follow him. When all my kids turned 8, they were all baptized when they were 7, but when they turned 8, we promised them they could go to Israel with us. So this is just one picture, Ryder. This is where he was baptized in the Jordan. I tried to find pictures with Sky and Chase, but Lori had given all those to them in a book or something. And so, by the way, it's really difficult to speak without Lori here, but at the same time, I get to say things that she won't make faces at. In fact, Don Murdoch, he felt sorry for me, so he drew a picture of Lori. So Lori, if you're watching online, you're here with us. So anyway, guys, here's the whole thing is that, you know, they were baptized in the Jordan, and here's the thought though, is that at some point my son Ryder, my daughter Sky, and my oldest son Chase, they all came to this place where they had this relationship with Jesus, and they wanted it to go to this next step. They wanted people to know that they knew who Jesus was, and they were water baptized. So here's a third reason why some people would decide that a believer wouldn't want to be baptized. Check this out, real deep. They just don't want to be seen wet. I'm telling you, it's a real reason. And it's almost like people are sitting out there going, well, if I get water baptized in front of people when I come out there, it's like somebody's going to be sitting out there going, oh, that I've always wondered what he looked like wet. You know, I don't know. It's like one of those, but I promise you that's not going to happen. That when you're being water baptized and you go underwater and you come out, people are going to be celebrating with you. Come on. Yes, amen. They're going to be joining you in this decision and celebrating it. Here's the final one, and this is a real one right here. A reason why a believer might be choosing to hold off being baptized, and here it is. They know that this is real, and this is a lasting statement. I can't tell you how many times friends or when I was a youth pastor, youth that were in the youth group, that they would be holding off getting baptized because they felt like they still had things to do before they committed totally to Christ. It's hard to wrap your mind around it, but that is the reason, because they know in the depths of their hearts that this is real, that this stands for something. This is me saying that I identify with Jesus. This is how people will identify me, that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. This is me saying goodbye to my old self. My heart today is that all who hear this message would be encouraged, not just in their faith or in their heart, but to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, that you be baptized by immersion, that your identity is found in your relationship with Christ. It's you saying, His Holy Spirit is at work in me, and my identity is found in Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit and water baptism. Let me give you 4 quick points. And the first thought is this right here. That baptism expresses my identity in Christ. That baptism expresses my identity in Christ. Now, how we are identified or who or what we identify with can be very important to us. Let me just give you a few. First one is this. How about just football teams? Niners fans, what's the Redskins called now? I'm joking. I know what they are. I'm just messing around. No, when I first moved here in 2007, I had neighbors, you know, and I was just curious. I remember I walked out there and I said, hey, you know, what games do you guys go see? Do y'all go see the Cavaliers or the Tech? And as I say Cavaliers, as it comes out of my mouth, like my neighbors would go, pff. You ever had people do that right there? You know, like I can walk up to Lori and she'll be trying to pick clothes for Sunday night. It'll be Saturday, you know, night, and she's getting ready for Sunday. And she'll be going, I can't, you know, and I'll walk in, I'll go, well, what about this? And she'll go, like, okay, you know, like, what are we, like, I made a bad choice. But, and political parties, Democrat or Republican, I mean, this fractures families. But it's how we identify ourselves. And how about with church denominations? I can't tell you how many times I've walked up on people who might be having a conversation about the Holy Spirit, and I'll go, oh, are you AG? And they go, no, I'm Church of God. Or are you Baptist? No, I'm Church of Christ. How we are identified, especially to Jesus, in Jesus, is so important. Look at these scriptures. I've taken just little portions of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are chosen people, a holy priesthood. You know, it goes, a holy nation. John 15:15 says, I have called you friends. I have made you known. Galatians 3:26 says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God. You are identified as his children. How many of you have ever had your identity stolen? Bank cards, you know, the whole thing. First time that ever happened to me, man, it was back, I think in 2007, 2008, somebody got a hold of my Yahoo account. And I couldn't get in my emails. I couldn't get anything. And so I finally get Yahoo on it. They start an investigation. They finally find out that somebody in Canada, they knew exactly what city and everything, had stolen my Yahoo account. Well, long story short, they finally got it back to me, you know, but it was just one of those deals. It felt really weird having that take place. There were 4.8 million identity theft frauds cases reported to the Federal Trade Commission in 2020. When nothing was going on, we're all home, sick, the identity thieves were busy. 4.8, they're saying those were the ones reported, 4.8 million. Cost the people in the U.S. $56 billion. Every 4 seconds for that entire year, somebody was having their identity stolen. When I started going to Israel in 97, we'd gone a couple of years, and in 99, it's our third trip to Israel, and I'm going up, and if you've ever been, and you go to Tel Aviv and Ben Gurion, you don't mess around with the passport people. You don't make a joke. You don't do any of that stuff because they'll just make you stand there longer or worse. And so I walked up. I knew not to make a joke or nothing. I just gave her my passport. She took it. She looked at me, didn't smile. She scanned her thing, looked back at me, and she goes like this. And I went, okay, and I stood still. And she picks up the phone. In about 10 seconds, I had two men, one on each arm, grab me by my arms, and a girl came and grabbed my bag, and I was taken to airport jail, literally an airport jail. And they threw me in this room, shut the door, and I was in there for about 25 minutes with no one talking to me, no one saying anything to me. They finally bring me out. They put me in a chair in front of this, like, captain, sergeant guy, and he starts grilling me about Australia and how many years did I live in Australia? Where did you, and where did you go to here? And I'm sitting there, I'm going, I'm not from Australia. I've never been to Australia. I'm just trying to answer these questions. Guys, an hour later, I'm finally losing. And Lori will tell you, I start acting up, and I start getting whatever, and I finally had enough, and I leaned up and got away from the two guys and got right up at the sergeant. I go, where does it say in my passport that I have ever been to Australia? Do you see a stamp anywhere in my passport? They yanked me up out of the chair and put me and threw me back in the room and shut the door. Sat there for another 30 minutes, and they finally pulled me out, and they go, we want to tell you what happened. And so they said that some guy has stolen my passport number and has been running drugs out of Australia through all these countries, and he has my passport number. So I sat there and I go, well, what do I do? He goes, well, until you get a new passport, you know, you just kind of have to put up this when you come to Israel. And I said, you mean every time? He goes, yeah. So guys, it became a joke. I would go up, I'd give my passport, and within 30 seconds, somebody would come up, grab my arms, and take me to the airport jail. That went on until I got a new passport. But guys, here's the thing is, it didn't feel good being identified as somebody that was a criminal. My identity was, I'm Matt Stewart. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. I'm from America. But my identity had been stolen. You see, when we trust in Jesus, when we identify with him in every way, his death, his burial, his resurrection, guys, capture this. You will never have to worry about being without your identification. You will never have to worry about being mistaken for somebody else. You will never have to worry about being locked out of your account. You will always have access to God. Come on. Your water baptism proclaims to the world that my identity is found in Jesus. And just as the Holy Spirit was present at the baptismal of Jesus, confirming his identity, the Holy Spirit will be present at your baptism, confirming your identity as one of his followers. Here's the second thought, is that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord. So we have baptism expresses my identity in Christ, and baptism is an ordinance of the Lord. You can say it's a decree or an order or regulation or statute, but I love that Jesus commands us to do this. I love that he does that, that all believers would be baptized. It's an ordinance of the Lord. Jesus ordained it. I love saying it that way, that Jesus ordained this to happen. He planned it, that it would be an ongoing practice in the body of Christ, that Jesus himself was water baptized. So long as this age exists until the day of our Lord's return, we are to be making men, disciples of men, baptizing all who have accepted Jesus as their Savior. We are all, everybody say all, to be baptized. Everybody hear me? We are all to be baptized. Guys, even Aquaman. Say with me here for a second. Born in the ocean, if he accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, even Aquaman would have to be baptized. Is everybody following me? You got to be baptized. The Holy Spirit and water baptism. And here's my third thought, that baptism is in the name of the Trinity. Let's read it again. Matthew 28:19. Now, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love that this is more than just a typical dive in the pool. Guys, look at this picture right here. This is Ryder that same year. Ryder's doing a cannonball right there. This is in Gedi. This is where David and his warriors hid out from King Saul, and the water was really high that year. It was like 10 feet deep, and so he's jumping off cliffs doing cannonball. Guys, listen, we're in Israel. We're in Gedi. We're at a pool where that's a perfect place to be baptized, but that's not what's taking place. Is everybody with me? Baptism is more than just a dive in the pool. It's literally you in an act of obedience saying that this is who I am. This is how I identify. I go under one way and I come out another. Give me an amen. There's a big difference here. This is you and I desiring the presence. It's a holy appeal to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to be present in this act of obedience. Let's read it again, Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no salvation without the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a Trinity. It's one God, three persons. And when we call on their name, we are depending on them, all of them. We are honoring them. We are saying that this act of baptism is by them and for them. And here's my last thought. Baptism demonstrates my faith. So baptism expresses my identity in Christ. It's an ordinance of the Lord. It is in the name of the Trinity, and it demonstrates my faith. It is a demonstration of the burial and resurrection with Jesus, which happened through faith. And so we should only baptize those who truly believe. And I want to make sure that I make this perfectly clear for everybody. Water baptism doesn't save you. Come on, church. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, stay with me on this. The water does not cleanse you of your sins. The act of submersion, it does not save you. Water baptism demonstrates your faith. It demonstrates your obedience and your desire to identify. It is the symbolic of moving from death to life. Colossians 2, 12 through 14 says, going under the water was a burial of your old life. I love this translation. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. And when you were stuck in your old sin, dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. I love the idea of demonstration. I love that a mother and a father gets to demonstrate for their kids so that they can learn and know how to do something or how to move in that area. I love that professors and teachers demonstrate for students. And I love that we are given opportunities to demonstrate things for others so that we can know, so that we can learn, so that others can decide to try or not to try, so that others can decide to commit or to continue to delay, so that you and I can grow or stay the same. That water baptism, I love this, is a demonstration of devotion. Guys, think about this. I started thinking about this today, that when Lori and I got married, and we made our vows, that was an act of devotion to where I am devoting myself to her, that no matter how, and listen, we had some tough chapters. We've gone through some things. It hasn't always been the greatest, but here's the thing is that my devotion was to her. Until I take my last breath, until I leave this earth, that I am devoted to my wife. And here we are now in water baptism, that it is a demonstration of the purest devotion. It is a willing plunge into the power and the promises of God. Come on. That's what this is. Baptism is a public declaration declaring that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a public confession of faith in Jesus and commitment to Christ. Here's Mark's take on it. 16:16. Then he said, go into the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. And it says this, whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Guys, if you are saved, you'll obey. I don't know how else to say it. If you truly believe in Jesus, then you're going to obey in this. Announcing the good news of Jesus that whoever believes and is baptized is saved. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Can we give our worship team a hand? What an amazing, man, worship today. I didn't have these up in the first service, but Jennifer helped me out, and we've got them in the second service. Look at what Watchman Nee, the way he says it right here. It says that baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. Isn't that good? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. And then you look at what Max Lucado says. He says baptism is bowing before the Father and letting him do his work. Romans 6, 3 through 4 in the English Standard Version says, are you guys okay with Scripture? Man, I'm telling you, this is good stuff here. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Some of you would say, well, Pastor Matt, when should I get baptized? ASAP. Pastor Matt, when should I be rebaptized? As soon as you possibly can. I've been baptized 4 times in my life, in significant chapters of my life. There is nowhere, this is another one, there is nowhere in the Bible that says you should be baptized only once. Come on. And so for me, I've been baptized 4 times. So if you're sitting there and you're going through a major, major change and God has done something great in your life, whatever that looks like, and you're wanting to be rebaptized, Pastor Matt, when should I do it? Do it now. We've got today after the service. We've already had a couple from the first service that has joined for this one. We're going to have baptism on Awakening Night this coming Sunday night. Pastor Matt, when should I be baptized? As soon as you possibly can. Because let me tell you something, let everybody receive what I'm about to say. The enemy loves a delayed obedience. You want to know why? Because the longer we delay, it leads to disobedience. Let me say it again. The enemy loves a delayed obedience because it often leads to disobedience. When should I be baptized? Today. Sunday night. We can do it tomorrow. But be baptized as soon as you know that you're supposed to be, as soon as you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as soon as you've heard these words hit your heart, the Holy Spirit is telling you, now, now is the day to be baptized. The Holy Spirit and water baptism. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, God. So let's just bow our heads real quickly. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are in our lives. And God, I just pray that even as this message has been going out, that in love, in total love, everything that I could possibly say, just in love, that Father, that for some of us, we just need to make a decision. For some of us, it's becoming aware and waking up to what's really going on in our lives. There's some that haven't been truly baptized, like a sunken vessel, submerged like a sunken vessel. Some of us want to be rebaptized. Whatever that looks like, God, I just thank you for what you're doing here today. God, thank you that in the Great Commission, you make sure that we see that it is to make disciples, to baptize all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you for what you're going to do today as we baptize these that have come ready. Maybe even some in here this morning that are saying, I want to be baptized as well, or I want to be baptized Sunday night. God, just go in, dear Lord, and let them know the importance of this. And I ask this in your holy and precious name because you are a good God. Can everybody just say thank you, Jesus? Come on, hallelujah. Father God, we just give you all praise. So the worship team, let's all stand together. Worship team is going to sing this song.